I would like to draw your attention to the 106th Psalm, verses 4 and 5. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, and that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Psalm 106, verses 4 and 5. This is a comprehensive prayer. It embraces the whole compass of salvation. And the blessed is that sinner in whose heart is this desire. And because there's a promise attached to it, the Lord will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. That desire in the 22nd Psalm is the same purpose. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. It's exactly the same thing that Jesus taught Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. And so from time to time through the Word of God, our attention is drawn to the all-sufficiency that there is in Christ, which is an honor are with me, yea, beautiful riches and righteousness. And who could but feel, at least those that have a spiritual appetite, feel this prayer rise up in their heart as we were singing that second blessed hymn, His wisdom righteous well all the way through the wilderness, well in their worst conditions, in their most acute pains, in their most grievous losses, and well when they are called to die. O truly happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. But there are many of Lord's dear people who have this desire in their heart, but they feel that it remains a desire. They see the favor that the Lord's people are blessed with, and they see the joy of salvation that they experience. And they know that there is a good of his chosen and the gladness of his nation. And they have an aching void that this would fit. Oh, this text would fill that aching void. They seem to want everything, but they've got nothing. Well, they're on the road. If this desire is in your heart by the Spirit, it must be fulfilled. His honor and his truth at stake. And remember me, O Lord, with the favor thou bearest unto thy people. It is as though the eyes of a poor sinner that realizes that there is in the fullness of Christ everything that can save him, everything that can satisfy his soul, that he stands, as it were, by the eye of faith, all those spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and realizes that if he is destitute of those things, then whatever he possesses, he is destitute to all eternity, destitute of life, goes through the world without God and without hope. And therefore it is an urgency to his faith. And remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And then there are the favors that they enjoy in a divine worship. That is, a spiritual favor in worship. When in worship the Lord draws near, and when he draws out the heart, and gives you to find in your very soul, your soul following hard after him. When the Holy Spirit influences the very atmosphere of the sanctuary, and transforms you for a little time by the renewing of your mind, and every other influence knows its power, and you are gathered up in the spirituality of mind, and the graces of the Spirit are in exercise and operate in your soul. Brokenness, humility, and love. Oh, what a favor that is. And this we cannot command ourselves. I know it is painful to feel a helplessness, and yet, my friends, it's far better than to have an automatic religion that you can manipulate yourself. There's much teaching, even in bondage, with respect to his people. He will teach them continually their utter dependence upon him, and that the source of all salvation, the source of all spiritual blessings, are in Christ. We have to make a big mistake to look into ourselves to find that which can only be found and received from Christ himself. And oh, how it does expand. And it increases and expands as you are more and more instructed in what you are. In the universal destitution that is in your nature, that there's not a spot of spiritual water of life, that there's nothing whatever except there. And yet, by the same teaching, you're being led, brought to truly hunger and thirst and long after salvation. And now and then, as some little gleams break through the cloud, they give you a little glimpse of that is within the veil, that which is in the gospel of his grace, and brings his desire into your heart. Remember me, O Lord, with those favors which thou bearest unto a dying people. I was reading this afternoon case of Moses in blessing the tribes of Israel, as you know, in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. Each of them had a blessing. And then the summing up was this: happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? They're the only happy people on earth, really with true happiness. They're the only rich people. If they were paupers in a workhouse, they're rich. What made that Jabez more honorable than his brethren? Could not have been his social position, for they were brethren. But it was the grace that he possessed, the life of God in his soul. And you see, he had the same desire. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. And so, this living desire will be wrought in the heart of every one of his people. There's such a sweetness in it. You'll feel the life of the portion. And it makes Christ precious. You see, in him that which you can never find in the world. And a capacity to receive those spiritual blessings is the work of the Spirit in the heart. It's a mercy to have such a capacity. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Did he just mention the emphasis upon thy people, thy salvation, thy chosen? And in the 27th Psalm, perhaps you'll notice just the same thing. There's a sweet harmony through the Word of God. But what is more important is whether there's a harmony in your soul experience to the Word of God. Lead me, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Remember me, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. So this whole is centered in the person of God the Eternal Son. And he came in this fullness. For when his Father sent him, how shall he not also with him give you all things? Oh, my friends, the fullness of all is in the Lord Jesus, and therefore his people partake of his goodness. They partake of his goodness. He is the fullness of creation. His sovereignty controls all providence, and his sovereign grace is that which will be made effective in the salvation of every one of his dear people. Visit me with thy salvation. And this clause of the text really takes in the whole of the scripture from Genesis to from Genesis to Revelation. It all is salvation. And what salvation is, and how it was wrought out, and how the Holy Ghost will work it in. It's a kingdom of salvation. Visit me with it. And so that the psalmist here could not be content with just reading about salvation. Because as we said this morning, he had known what condemnation is. the two things must ever go together. Did you never know what condemnation is in your experience? You never know and never want to know anything about salvation. Visit me with thy salvation. And this visitation is when the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus by which he saved his people. He takes those things and shows them. He doesn't show them like we would show a person something and then take it back. When he shows his salvation, he leads that salvation to the favored sinner to whom he shows it. That's one way that the blessing of being in union with the Lord Jesus. When he speaks what he says into the soul and becomes a substance. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his salvation. And it is the Holy Ghost that shows it, and that reveals the things of God, so that he takes of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That is really the whole of salvation. The imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus brings everything into the heart that is saving and sanctifying. As we mentioned this morning, it is based upon the blessed doctrine of substitution. Visit me with it. Assure my conscience of my part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God, and as to be visited with salvation. And there are two parts mainly to salvation. There are those things and that condition from which a sinner is saved. And there are those blessed things unto which and into which they are saved. Salvation is not like rescuing a man from a shipwreck and standing him down on the foreshore and say, "Now, when you're safe from that wreckage, you get on." No. Oh, salvation is from the ruins of the poor. It's a salvation from our own self-destruction. It is the salvation out of the miry clay of the pollution of our own nature. A salvation from indwelling sin, nor internal and infernal enemies. It is a salvation into the Lord Jesus. A salvation into eternal, invisible union with him in such a way as that all that he is and all that he became and all the work that he has accomplished with his peoples, they are complete in him and accepted in the beloved. That salvation. Visit me with thy salvation. There are a lot of kinds of salvations in the religious world, but it's thy people and thy salvation. You'll be jealous over it. And oh, what love there is in this desire, in this prayer. And love to the Lord Jesus. And this desire goes out unto him. You'll be made willing to suffer all things for his name. And I feel one of the most outstanding and precious examples of this desire is in the third chapter to the Philippians. Remember me, O Lord, with a favour. Thou fairest unto thy people. Visit me to thy salvation. For I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, that salvation. Oh, the inflowing of it, and there's a sweetness in the desire. I feel persuaded that you cannot desire a thing without receiving some element of the thing you desire. You must taste it. You must know it. So don't destroy the desire. If the desire is of the Holy Ghost, my friends, it will be fulfilled. And I would say it with reverence, it is the responsibility of the Lord Jesus that it is fulfilled. Oh, visit me as if I had salvation, so that it is to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. To be saved by his imputed righteousness, to be saved from death by his life, to be saved from a condemnation by his resurrection. Death is a sentence of condemnation, and the Lord suffered it for his people. He was condemned to death as a surety, as a substitute. And his condemnation was just because he was a substitute. He hath made him to be sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Visit me with it. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you come to consider that we are only little specks, don't take up much room in the world or in the sea, and yet this little speck is depraved, the dark contagion fills the veins and spreads the poison to the heart, and yet the Lord Jesus has come in order to work out eternal salvation by his everlasting righteousness, by his perfect obedience in satisfying the law of God, his salvation. Oh, that it might flow like a river and bring Calvary's peace into a poor, troubled sinner's heart. That I may see the good of thy chosen. When he does see the good of it by faith, otherwise he would not pray for it. What is the good of thy chosen? Why, it is to be interested in sovereign election. The 65th Psalm explains this. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. He shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ are bestowed upon his people according to that rule, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Of course, the good of his chosen is salvation. just like that wonderful word of Zacchaeus. There he was when he went out to see this notable person. He had no grace. He just came out of curiosity. But it was an appointed time. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And when the Pharisees complained, he said, we'll have it right. It's a beautiful place there. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Him this day, what a day this would be. In answer to the text, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Oh, what a visit it would be, and the Lord's the same today. He looks upon his people, he knows those in this chapel that are his, knows those that are his, and yet don't know that they are his. And yes, there may be one that is seeking him, one that has prayed the prayer of the text. He came to that tree and knew that Jesus was there. And he may know that there's some poor sinner in one of these pews. The wonderful thing it would be that he should go to that person and say, this day salvation has come to thy house, into thy heart. Oh, my friend, may we be given such a sense of both the sacredness and importance, the solemnity and blessedness of salvation, as not to be satisfied until the Lord visits us with it. That I may see the good of thy chosen, so that the good of the Lord's chosen is that they have the promise of the life, the spiritual life that now is, and of that which is to come. And not only so, but the good of his chosen is this, the kingdom of grace within. And therefore, all things belong to them. They have the good of being surrounded by the divine perfections of Jehovah. And they have the goodness and blessing of every gospel promise in the scriptures belongs to them. And they have this goodness of a guaranteed, if I might so speak, a guaranteed faith transport through the wilderness to heaven itself, that I may see the good of thy chosen. And not only so, they have the good of the graces of the Spirit in their heart, spiritual humility and love and faith and hope. And they have the good of his chosen access at the throne of grace. Come, reverend, safe with familiarity with the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friends, I see you. I feel ashamed of my unacquaintedness with the Lord. We're acquainted with everything and everybody else, but are we acquainted with Him? And perhaps this is included as well, you know, that long apostrophe of Ezekiel. The description of all the different compartments in the city, the chambers for the priests, the ornaments, the sacrifices, go right up the end, and then there's a four words which gather up the whole and more than the whole of the description of the city and the temple. And those four words are these, and the Lord was there. That's it. Covered it all, and the Lord was there. Oh, this belongs to His people. What a mercy if it can be said, not only by us, but confirmed by the Lord Himself as we meet together, the Lord is there. What a mercy if it can be said, but for any individual, the Lord is there. What a solemn thing if it is otherwise, but if it is goodness. Oh, visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. I think the 33rd Psalm just explains this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. See, in those two statements is the whole of this text, really. Blessed is the nation, and that nation is the whole of the election of grace. It's the Lord's nation. It's His kingdom, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. That I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Now, what really is the gladness of the nation of God's people? The gladness is based upon the sovereign grace, saving grace, sanctifying grace, regenerating grace, the whole of the personal work of the Lord Jesus. And this gladness of His nation is when the Holy Spirit so reveals the things of God that your meditation of Him is sweet. 34th Psalm. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Measure of wonderful experience and exercise of soul. Do we ever have that meditation? You see, you cannot meditate without thinking, but you can think without meditating. Two different things. The gladness of thy nation. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. There was said this morning about the naked word of God. There is no power in it, no efficacy in it. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Well, if our religion is merely mental, then the whole of our experience is just a theory. For instance, the difference between a meditation and mere study is like this. You may have a cookery book to learn how to cook. You may study that, and that will never satisfy your hunger. You want food, and the command is feed the flock of Christ, the flock of slaughter that is among you. And therefore you will rejoice with his nation when in meditation there is a direct connection between what you read of salvation in Christ and the blessings that are in him. A connection between that and the aching void that the Spirit has made in your heart. Oh, you hunger and thirst for the living God, and therefore you want food. You know what it is to be tossed with tempest and not comforted. You need the Lord Jesus to be a harbor, a strong habitation, and you will rejoice with his nation. Rejoice too in that information. There is a king in all his sovereignty. You rejoice in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus. The sovereignty of his grace. You rejoice too in all his divine perfections. They are your refuge, your support. They are those chambers into which his people are invited, the same people. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors behind thee, and hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpast, and you rejoice in those chambers. Rejoice and exalt in the Lord Jesus. And his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. And that the munition of rocks is the divine perfections and attributes of Jehovah. And they sustain his nation. And you'll be glad and rejoice in it. Oh, the security of it. What a rest there is. And even if you misdesire, there's such a life in it. And there's a going out of self into all that the Lord Jesus is. And you'll feel such a completeness in him. And then you could know yourself in Jesus Christ. There is a sufficiency in him to swallow up all you are, to swallow up all your condemnation in his blessed death and his glorious resurrection. And that I may glory in his inheritance. Oh, I do feel such a drawing to this word, inheritance. And I have asked the Lord has an inheritance in his people, and that I have an inheritance in him. Is a sign inheritance. He rejoices in his inheritance, and I rejoice in his. Beautiful it is in a service that I may glory with joy in inheritance. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, and his people declare, in whom also we have an inheritance. It's wonderful that the Lord of life and glory has an inheritance in which he rejoices in poor men. To see who he is, he who needs nothing. King of kings and Lord of lords. And his inheritance is in the church. And if we met together here by the Spirit, we are his inheritance. He dwells in Zion. And when he dwells in Zion, he dwells in his people's heart. He doesn't dwell in the bricks and mortar. It's in their hearts. And I have an inheritance in him. That I may glory with thine inheritance. There's nothing else to glory in. It's a wonder that an unworthy sinner is allowed to glory with his inheritance. But then you see, there's a new nature given. Oh, and his people have that glory in being brought into blood relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're related to him. And those relationships he still maintains. He's still a brother born for adversity, exalted in heaven. He is the bridegroom of the bride, and a marriage ceremony is yet to take place. And blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The glory with his inheritance. You look at the text, my friend. It's everything the things of God and God himself. And it is divided from all the things of this poor world. And you'll feel the distinction in your own heart. I wish I could speak of it, but I can't. I don't want to speak of it to my satisfaction, my dear. If I could, it wouldn't be what it is. We must die to speak of Christ, but there's an inheritance above. Oh, the glory with that inheritance above. And mercy, if he's gone to prepare a place for us. And when we're meditating on these things, doesn't it make everything in this world very secondary? And it ought to be. Now, don't be careless, my dear young people. This life is important. You're put here. Lord in his prayer said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. There's a work to be done. And whatsoever thy hand finds to do it with thy might. The only thing is, and what you need to remember is, that there are two distinct lives, a natural life, with its responsibilities, and as a spiritual life. Oh, may the Lord teach you, bless you, and guide you, bring you out and gather you in.
can't make it out.